We're doing Eov, and we're up to what's called the final chapter, Perek Mem Bet. Vayan Eov et Adonai Vayomar. So Eov answers Hashem and says, Yadati Kichol Tuchal. I know that you could do everything. I knew all along that you do whatever you want, and no one can withhold that from you. V'lo yibatzer mimecha mezima, and no thought can be withheld from you. Whatever you decide, obviously you can implement. Mizeh malim eitza beli da'at. Says, but he's talking respectfully, and he says, who is it that would think that something withheld from Hashem, anyone that thinks that Hashem doesn't know everything or can do everything, who would be a person that would think that that you don't know everything? So that's mibli dat. That's something that's said incorrectly, without intellect. Lachem higati velo avin. And he says, so I understand that that you control everything, and that's why I said this foolishness, because I thought that you gave things over to nature. Lachem higati, that's why I made the declarations, velo avin, and I didn't understand that you're actively involved in the world. Because you now illustrated to me how you watch over the small details, and you know what? That was something I didn't know beforehand. Lachem higati, that's why I spoke before, velo avin, I didn't understand that you are intimately and intricately involved with what happens in the world. My claim was it must be you gave things over to the hands of nature, because I didn't see that you're really watching over an infinite amount of details in this world. And so Eov is really speaking about himself when he says, Mize ma'alim eitza beli dat. Who is the one that, so to speak, withholds knowledge from God? He's done this mibli dat, without knowledge. I erred, Eov is saying, so I didn't think that you were as actively involved and knowledgeable about what's going on in the world. I thought you'd give things over to the laws of nature. But now that you're telling me this is the way you run the world, Niflaot mimeni velo eda, that was something that was beyond me, and I didn't know until now that you're actively involved in everything that goes on. Shimana ve'anochi adaber. So he says, so Hashem, please listen to me, and I want to answer what you said to me the second time. Eshalcha vehodiyeni, and I want to ask you about some of the things that I don't understand, and please tell me. L'shema ozen shematicha, I've heard you, and I've always heard about you, and until now, it was all hearsay. L'shema ozen shematicha, until now, I've always heard about things you do and how you run the world, but ve'ata eini ra'atcha, but now my eyes have seen it. You've spoken to me. So now that you've spoken to me, I understand in truth that you control everything, and it's not that you're limited to nature or you're limited in your capacity to pay me back. And I understand that if that's the case, then the fact that things aren't as good as I'd like them to be is obviously something lacking in me. Because until now, I didn't understand the concept of your being omnipotent as clearly. I've heard about it, but now that I've seen, now that you've spoken to me and you've explained to me that you run the world, okay, so now I really know that you could if you wanted to, and so if I'm not getting things as good as I'd like, then obviously it's because I don't deserve it. And in this Pasuk, Iyov is really encompassing a whole philosophy. Meaning, well, one of our big issues in contending with the Tzadik Viralo is because the whole concept of Hashem is, I've heard, is a concept that's distant. And every person on their level has what to work on connecting with the concept that Hashem really exists. So you'll tell me, but isn't that the basics of Judaism? Wait a second, we say it every day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We put on tefillin, we could give whole lectures about Yetzias Mitzrayim and the miracles and everything. Right. But like Iyov says, Hashem Ozen, until now it was hearsay. It exists on a different level. That's a good point, meaning there's this conflict between deep down inside, I sense it's right, but on the outside, I have it right. I still have the doubts and the difficulties. And Eov says that's really where all the difficulties of the book, that's really where they're stemming from. Because the whole concept of Hashem and Hashem's being omnipotent, well, we connect with it on one level. Like we saw in the Magen Miduvna, we saw it in the Sefer Amidot. Our lives are a living contradiction to our declarations.
Fine.
That's when it's used positively. But at the end of the day, the question is, where does a person land? And Iyov is really summing up here where he came off blaspheming. Why is it that he ended up with his conclusions? Because he says, until now I understood you on one level, and now that you spoke to me, I see it on a different level.
So that's
the big question. So what are we supposed to take away from this book, right? All right, that's maybe not.
It seems to defy a whole principle of free choice, you know? Hashem is trying to give us free choice in the world. The more he appears to us, the less free choice we have. So his revelation is an extreme action because it goes against a principle that he's built into.
Moshe Rabbeinu was asking God, why not the Jewish nation will get it? Why not Hashem said,
There's a lot to think about here because you're saying, where's Eov's free choice? And I'm saying, did Eov say, I see I'm not perfect? Or did Eov say, I see you're omnipotent, and I see I'm suffering, so must be I'm not perfect. So then Eov still has that internal conflict and the capacity to say, but yes I am.
Of course, he has no, because he's not being shown his lackings, right? He's just showing that being shown through logic that he has lackings.
Oh, you see, but that's a key point here. Hashem doesn't take him to task and say, you see, here you weren't right. He's not doing what Eov's friends did. Eov's friends went into details. And they tried to show him where he was wrong, and he immediately had answers for them. And it seems like his answers are more powerful and more correct than their claims. Hashem doesn't do that. Hashem says, let's work with the principles here. Look that I know what's going on in the world. Look at how I go into infinite detail in my world. And look at how I have limitless capacity. Look at all the things I've created. So then why are you suffering, Eov? Obviously it's not because of me, Eov, it's because of you. Now, Eov's answer is, okay, I agree, it must be because of me. But he doesn't have it spelled out. He doesn't come out and say, okay, I know on A, B, C, and D I did something wrong. Does he have it spelled out in his mind or not? I don't know. But I think that's part of the big question here that every person has to ask himself in the challenges of life. Our question begins with a concept, I'm right, and God should be playing the world the way I see fit because I'm right. And God's answer is, I'm right, and obviously that means you're wrong, and I'm not going to tell you where you're wrong. But that's really summing up in a nutshell, that's really the difficulties in philosophy, because to my logic, the world should play itself out differently. And the beginning of the answer is a recognition, well, what do you know? Which is the first thing Hashem tells Eov. You don't know anything about this world, so why do you think you know how the world should run? Ah, so now you have questions. Okay, so let's begin with answers to those questions. Hashem doesn't take him the final steps of the answer. Hashem takes him the first steps, and maybe that's the answer we're supposed to take away. The first steps, I run the world, I know what's going on, I'm fair, and I could do anything I want. If you could get those down pat, so then you realize that the problem, that every person's issue is really with himself, not with God. But the problem is that we don't have those issues down pat. We have them in a theoretical sense. And then we say, yeah, but I don't understand. If you're entitled not to understand, the question is that a question on God or a question on us? Eov's answer is, well, until now I didn't really know you could do all that. I didn't really know you're on top of all that. Now that I've seen it, okay, so now I understand, obviously I'm not perfect. But he doesn't yet spell out what's wrong with him, and he won't.
But even if you're ashamed, recognize that God is greater than them, and God is, I'll come, Eov doesn't spell it out.
This is the
someone, a human being, God is looking to him and explaining all creation, explaining how great he is, and always to be blamed is his issues.
What do you want Eov to say that he's not saying? He's not saying what he did wrong. That's not the critical part of the book. That's not what interests us. I'm saying that's a detail. In every person's life, it plays itself out differently. Eov was a huge tzaddik. The book begins by declaring Eov was a huge tzaddik. But he wasn't as big a tzaddik as he could have been and should have been. Or as he thought he was.
But you're saying that he's not going to say that directly, that he's going to recognize.
He's not going into it. He's saying, I know I'm wrong. But he doesn't say that he's worked out where he's wrong. Maybe that's the rest of his life's work.
No, he doesn't know. Just because he's seen that Hashem is running the world doesn't mean now he knows what his mistakes were. He has to figure
right?
those out.
Right, still got work to do. Pasuk Vav. Al Kain, Im As Venichamti, Al Afar Va'efer. Because I have such I have such appreciation because I merited to see you. Alken, therefore, emas, I despise all worldly things from here on in, because it doesn't matter compared to the closeness I had with you. Vinichamti, and now I have comfort over all my suffering. Al afar ve'efer, although I sit here in the dust, but the great revelation you gave me overcomes all of that. Everything else doesn't matter to me anymore. At least now I've gained understanding, and that's worth more to me than all the worldly things I've lost. And that's Eov's final line. Eov says, now that I understand, everything else isn't important anymore.
Correctly, he understands that Hashem is all powerful and that he's running the show, and that solves all his problems, because logic dictates that whatever difficulty he's having is his own fault.
But maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe this final speech of Eov's is giving us an insight into life. So long as God is a distant thought, something that hasn't been proven, something that isn't clear, so then we enjoy our children more, and all the external, physical, worldly things have much more importance in our life. Because he's not, right, he's not the center of the picture. The second Eov has clarity, and he knows that Hashem's running the show, and he has an understanding of Hashem, and he has this vision of Hashem, suddenly life with Hashem takes center stage. And suddenly the other things play a totally different role in life. They're not as important. They're a part of life, but that's not the goal in life. Until now, every week, Eov would bring sacrifices to appease the God, because he has children and he doesn't want them to suffer. It's not that we're all in the service of Hashem. It's that Hashem is in the service of us. So I have to appease the God. And I say the God because it's one step away from the gods. It's not so far away from paganism because it's a matter of let's have God work on my behalf. And then suddenly when God isn't working on my behalf, suddenly the world's collapsing around the Eov, his children, his wife, his wealth, his fame, his reputation. He's suffering physically, he's suffering mentally, he's suffering on every front. So then suddenly, wait a second, God, what was I serving you for? But now suddenly there's a real connection with Hashem. And when there's a real connection with Hashem, so then Eov says, okay, now I have real value in my life. And perhaps part of this as being the closing remarks of Eov is to give us perspective. Where's our focus? And why is it that the physical world plays such a role? Tzadik v'ralo, when we say ralo, we mean ralo in the physical world. Now we feel the physical world. It's very real. But how important is it? Well, that depends on who you are and where you're living and on what level a person's living. Eov reaches a level where it doesn't say anywhere here that his suffering stopped. He's still having nightmares, he's still having sweats, he's still having boils. His children aren't coming back to life. He lost his wife, he lost his wealth, he's being spit on, he's being kicked out. All the suffering's continuing, but suddenly that's not important. He's on a different level, he's a different Eov. And life is about living. But the greater a person is, the greater his perspective. Can a person go to sleep the night before his son is going to be killed? What if he has to do the killing? What if God is telling him, Avram, I want you to go and slaughter your own son after 100 years? 100 years he spends longing for the son. Well, Avram goes to sleep. Vayishkem Avram babokir. So he's 137 years old. He's waited for this child 100 years. He has no continuation other than this child, but he could go to sleep the night before because Hashem is center stage in his life. And so Yitzchak is not a goal in and unto itself. The focus of my life is not Yitzchak as Yitzchak my son. The focus of my life is the service of Hashem. Do I know what Hashem wants? No, I don't either have an answer. Some can daven, so Avram does daven. Avram spends 3 days davening, and when he goes up that mountain, he keeps davening. And Yitzchak davens. No one wants it to play itself out this way. Being an Ovid Hashem doesn't mean I don't care. Doesn't mean, so Hashem said, slaughter my son, fine. That's the will of Hashem. No. Avram keeps davening till the last minute. And Chazal say that last minute is what changed the tide. That's what changed the decree. Didn't have to play itself out the way it did. Yischar ishtachavayat, says in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, because they davened up on the mountaintop. Avram tells Yitzchak, let's daven before we do this. So they daven, and Hashem accepts their tefillah and sends an angel and says, no, let it play itself out differently. Mishanat Avram Avinu Bar HaMoriah, we say in the Tanis. He who answered Avram, that means he was davening up there on Har Moriah, as was Yitzchak.
What would have happened if he'd gone through it?
You see, Hashem has... that's a different class. The idea is the focus. And once the focus is Hashem, which is a level that you see even Eov, the great tzaddik Eov, didn't attain, it's not an easy level. We're talking theoretically. I'm not talking about something I've attained, but I'm saying what's the message of the book.
First thought that Hashem might trigger us as a Ram, that he won't release slowly. It's not just to check the level of the person. Maybe things will happen.
That deserves a different class, it's not here. So Eov says, now that I have this connection, so then the other things aren't, they don't have the importance they had before.
The connection, it seems like it's just the knowledge that everything is coming from Hashem, and it's coming from Hashem in a just format. That he knows that...
You said that, I didn't.
What does it mean that now he has this connection? What? Because he saw Hashem. That doesn't do anything. What?
You said that. I didn't say that.
So please.
I cannot explain. But I don't think that your description is accurate.
He's going from... First he's suffering.
Wait. You're taking Hashem's revelation as... a good philosophy book was given to Eov. Meaning, had Eov read the book of Eov, it would have been just as good. Now we're as smart as Eov was, and we're not any happier in life. Here we read it. We read everything Hashem said to Eov. Why aren't we so happy, right? We don't say, don't give me a good chocolate bar after class. Life isn't so important to us. No. We're very happy going up to eat our freshly baked bread, and we're looking forward to the blintzes tomorrow night. And but we read God's answers. How come we're not as excited? I don't think that Hashem's revelation was only about the answer. And I don't think Eov's excitement is only about the answer that he heard. I don't see you as excited. You're not as excited as Eov was. You don't say, I could go lie in the dust now that I know this. One second. The Eov, a person after a revelation, is a different person. And so, Eov's connection to Hashem is on a different level. It's not just the information. It's the experience. You're reading this book is like Eov saying, I heard about it. The Shema Ozen. So now I heard about it from Eov. But Eov experienced it. It's different. And now his connection with Hashem is different. And you have to think about it. There's much more to Nevuah than just the information that was given over. Nevuah is called Yediat Hashem. Nevuah is a connection with Hashem. Nevuah is becoming like an angel. The person walks away from it a different person. Eov is not the same person after what he's experienced. He still has Bechira Chofshi, but it's not just about the information Eov heard. It's about the connection he now has with Hashem. And now that he has that connection, he says, okay, now I have a different appreciation for life in general. And I have a different set of values for life. It's not just now I understand Tzadik V'ra Lo V'Rasha V'Tovlo. It's not just that. It's also the connection he now has with Hashem. I think so. I think that's also, that's why I understand the commentaries here. Says, Al ken asher zachiti lechzot shechinatcha, Rashi says. Not because I got an answer, but because I merited to see your Shechina. It's something else. The focus here is not just on the answer. It's about the connection. That's the way I understand the commentaries here. So it's a my eyes saw you. It's not only about now I have an answer to my question. It's the connection I now have with you. And now the trap changes back to Haftarah trap. Just like the beginning of the book began with Haftarah trap, the conclusion of the book concludes with Haftarah trap. Vayehi achar diber Adonai et hadverim haele el Iyov vayomer Adonai el Elifaz hateimani chara api vecha uvishnei reyecha ki lo dibartem elai nechona keavdi Iyov. After Hashem speaks to Iyov, Hashem turns to Elifaz and he says, I'm upset at you and your two buddies, Beldad and Sofar, because you didn't represent me fairly. You said that Eov suffered like this because he is so rebellious. You said that he hasn't led a proper life, and that's not true. He isn't as complete as he could have been. The kindness I do in the world is a kindness I do when I pay people off well. But in order for a person to be tzaddik v'tovlo, in order for him to merit, to have it good because of his righteousness, well then his righteousness has to be a complete righteousness. Eov wasn't perfect, but Eov wasn't the sinner you guys said he was. What Hashem answered him is, what does the Gemara in Bracha say? Tzaddik v'ra lo, tzaddik gamur. Tzaddik v'tovlo, tzaddik gamur. That's one of the answers of the book of Eov. If he would have been a complete tzaddik, then things would have been sweet. He was an incomplete tzaddik, so then he doesn't merit that extra kindness that Hashem should intervene and make things good on his behalf. And you guys were wrong in the way you spoke. Kavdi Eov. Just like Eov was wrong in the way he spoke. Eov attributed everything to nature. You attributed it to his sins. You're both wrong. Hashem calls Eov Avdi Eov. And from here the Gemara derives that Hashem didn't hold it against Eov for speaking improperly. That Hashem doesn't hold things against the person when he's suffering. And so if Eov, out of his suffering, spoke improperly, Hashem doesn't hold it against him, and that's why Hashem calls him Avdi Eov. At the conclusion of the book, Eov is in good favor with Hashem, he's in good standing. Kavdi Eov, like my servant Eov. Ve'ata kechulachem shiva farim v'shiva elim ulchu el Avdi Eov. So now take 7 cows and 7 rams and go to my servant Eov. Ve'halitem olah badchem ve'Eov avdi yitpalel aleichem. Bring sacrifices for yourself over the way you misbehaved, and Eov, my servant, will pray for you because I will accept his prayer. You guys kept telling him how he's so wrong. Go to him, let him daven on your behalf, because he's a tzaddik. Ki impanav esa levilti asot imachem nivala ki lo dibautem neilai nechona ke avdi Eov. And if he prays on your behalf, so I will not punish you, although you spoke improperly about me, you spoke improperly about Eov. Just like Eov spoke improperly, you spoke improperly. And nonetheless, you want to be saved from punishment? Go have Eov daven on your behalf. Because Eov, when he spoke improperly, he has an excuse. He was suffering. You guys have no excuse. Vayelechu Eliphaz ha-Temani Ubildad ha-Shuchi Tzofar ha-Na'amati Vaya'asu Kasher Diber aleihem Adonai Vaisa Adonai Et Penei Iyov. So they went, Eliphaz and Bildad and Tzofar. Notice that the youngster, the young friend, he's okay. He doesn't need their forgiveness. They all went, and Hashem accepted Eov's prayer, and he forgave their sins. Vadonai shavet shavut Eov bitpalelo be'adreyehu. When Eov davened for them, so then Hashem healed Eov. And here we see this concept that when someone davens for someone else, so then Hashem grants him his needs first, if they need the same thing. So they were about to get punished. He davened they shouldn't get punished. Hashem healed Eov from his punishments. Vayosef Adonai et kol asher le'Eov le'mishneh. And then Hashem redoubled Eov's wealth and redoubled Eov's blessings. He had double what he had from the beginning. Vayavohu elav kol echav v'chol achyotav v'chol yodeav lefanim v'yochelo imo lechem beveito v'yanudu lo v'yinachamu oto al kol ha'ra'a asher evi Adonai alav. And all the people, his brothers and sisters, and all his friends from beforehand, the people who were his friends before he suffered, they came back to him. Remember, when he was suffering, suddenly everyone turned their back on him. Now that Eov's better, so they all came back to him, and they rejoiced with him. Well, it was God's decree they should turn their back on him. This was all part of what the Sutton riled up.
What does Eov think about these people?
I think Eov saw this was God's hand, but I don't know. So they came, and they feasted with him, and they comforted him, and they shared in his sorrow, and they comforted him over all the bad that Hashem had brought upon him. Vayitenu lo ish kesita echat. Each person gave him this coin called kesita. The ish nezem zahav echad, and every person gave him one nose ring, and this was a sign of great affection. This was like making a covenant, a pact with him. Vadonai beirach et acharit Eov mereishito. Hashem blessed Eov's end more than he had been blessed in the beginning of his life. Vayhilo arba'a asar elef tzon v'sheshet alafim gemalim gemalim ve'elef tzemet bakar ve'elef atonot. So he had twice as much as we saw in the beginning of the book. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 pairs of cattle, and 1,000 mules. Vayhilo shivan avanim v'shalosh banot. And he had double 7 sons, and he had 3 daughters. Vayikra shema achat yemimah v'shema shenit kitzi'ah. And the girls were double in their beauty, so he named them Yemimah. She gives off light like the light of the sun. And the second one he called Kitzi'ah. That just like Kitzi'ah is a type of perfume, so too she has great smell, she has great beauty. V'shem ha-shelishit Keren Hapuch. And the third one, he named her the shining of the great stone called Puch. Puch is a type of a fantastic jewel that gives off light. So he named his third daughter Keren Hapuch. Ve'lo nimtza nashim yafot kivnot Iyov b'chol ha'aretz. You couldn't find more beautiful women throughout the land than the daughters of Iyov. Va'iten lahem avihem nachala b'toch acheihem. And he gave them a portion among their brothers. So over here, right away, Chazal tell us the beauty is internal beauty, that his daughters were tzaddikot, and although the pasuk describes it, it seems it's external beauty, but no. The idea here is you couldn't find more beautiful people as human beings than the daughters of Iyov. Vayichi Iyov achrei zot 140 shana. And after this whole story, Iyov had tremendous longevity. After all his suffering, when he rebuilt his life, he lived 140 years. Vayiret banav et bnei banav arba'a dorot. And Hashem gave him longevity to see 4 generations. Afterwards, he saw his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and his great-great-grandchildren, and none of them passed away in his lifetime. So Hashem gave him double the blessing. Here he said, what do I have left to live for? Hashem showed him, I can make it good for you. I can make it even better for you. So now he had a whole new lifetime ahead of him. He lived another 140 years in health. Not only his own health, his children for 4 generations all lived so long that he didn't see any of them pass away. And then he died at a ripe old age. Vayamot Iyov zakein usvayamim. Iyov passed away after great longevity, being satiated with all the good that Hashem ultimately paid him back.